Today we are starting a new series on questions from God. And I'm super pumped to share this message with you because God really reassured me this week that you are going to hear something today that either you personally really needed to hear or that someone in your life needs to hear and you get to be the messenger. So I really want you to be on alert this week, this Sunday. I want you to hear, maybe it was the message Rhonda had for you. You know, maybe it was something in the song and maybe it's something I'm about to say, but I really felt this deep reassurance that you're going to hear something you really need to hear either for you or for someone in your life. Sometimes we come to church and we just think, what do I need today? And God is trying to give you something that someone else in your life needs who's not here. So just be on the lookout, okay? The first question we're going to tackle today is when God asks Elijah, why are you here? Why are you here? You know, I think that's been one of the positive sides of COVID is that people stopped going to church out of duty and tradition and habit. So now when you come to church, it's because you know you need it, right? It's more intentional. And I'm sad that not all the chairs are filled, but you know what I celebrate? I celebrate the fact that you're here by intention, that you have made a very strong decision to include fellowship of the church and the believers as part of your schedule, whereas 3 years ago, yep, it's Sunday, I'm going to church, it's what I've always done, it's what I'll always do. And now it's different because we got out of the habit for a little while, but now it's intentional. So not even be thinking, why am I here? Why am I here? God may be asking you, why are you here? Not just at church, maybe he's asking you in your job, why are you here? Why are you here? So I want you to hear that question. I want to give him just a quick background on Elijah before we talk about him in this story. He was a massively well-known prophet of God. He had communicated with King Ahab and said, listen, I hear from God and I'm telling you it's not going to rain until I'm telling you it's going to rain again. And so he did that. He raised this kid from the dead. He got fed by ravens. Like, he heard from the Lord. And not only that, he had this big, massive showdown, him versus 450 prophets of Baal, and he won. He and God won. And it's really a funny story if you ever want to read it. I know God's funny because this story is funny. Like, at some point, Elijah goes, what? Why isn't your God coming to your rescue? Is he in the bathroom doing his business? Like, he really got pretty in their face about it. But he won that contest. And at some point, I think 3 years into the drought that he had predicted and prophesied, God told Elijah to go to King Ahab and tell him, okay, it's going to rain finally. And Ahab goes, oh, there's the troublemaker. I've been looking for you. And Elijah basically goes, nuh-uh, I'm not the troublemaker. You and your family are the troublemakers because you've encouraged people to worship false gods. He was very, very powerful. Heard from the Lord. At one point when the rain came, God enabled the Spirit of the Lord hit him so that he was able to run faster than Ahab's chariots pulled by horses. Right? That's crazy. So I tell you all of that to reassure you that he was a man of God and he heard from God. Because when we read this story, you might be tempted to think otherwise. The first point I want to talk about today is fear and discouragement happen to everyone. Fear and discouragement happen to everyone. Elijah, super spiritual, heard from God, spoke for God, did these powerful things, and yet, as we're going to see, he became afraid and discouraged. In 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4, in the easy to read version, says this: King Ahab told Jezebel, that's his wife, everything that Elijah did and how Elijah had killed all the prophets of Baal with a sword. I don't understand that, but it is what happened. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, I swear that by this time tomorrow, this is the queen who's sending a message to Elijah. I swear that by this time tomorrow, you will be just as dead as those prophets. If I don't succeed, may the gods do the same or worse to me. When Elijah heard this, he was afraid. Now, I don't understand this. The guy who just went up against 450 false prophets and won and then killed them is now afraid of this woman. I don't understand this. So he ran away to save his life. He took his servant with him and they went to Beersheba in Judah. Then Elijah left his servant in Beersheba and walked for a whole day into the desert. Then he sat down under a bush, some translations say a broom tree, and asked to die. What? He said, I have had enough, Lord. Anybody ever felt that way? Whoo, I have. Yeah, thank you for your honesty, Alex. I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Can I just tell you how thankful I am for real people in the Bible? And can I also say, I'm going to anyway, whether you say yes or no. I would like to also point out the fact that this story is recorded in Scripture, which means something that happened to Elijah out in the desert, a full day's walk, that no one else, not even his servant, knew about, somehow found its way into the writer of this passage. You know what that tells me? Elijah had to tell somebody. Oh, that we would have a safe place, that we can say, I am afraid and discouraged, and I want to die. We need a safe place like that. Oh, I could go a long time on that, but I'm not going to. Point two. Now, it's a good thing I'm not God, because I probably would have said, you big dumb galoot, what's your problem? I have taken care of you. I have raised the dead through you. I have helped you defeat 450 false prophets, and you're telling me you've had enough and you want to die? What? But I'm not God. He is. Point number two, the kindness. Oh, this passage is so full of the kindness of God. The kindness of God to allow naps and provide snacks. Hallelujah. It's in the word. We're going to read it. Then Elijah lay down under the bush and went to sleep. God didn't wake him. We let him go to sleep. An angel came to him at some point and touched him. The angel said, get up and eat. Elijah looked around and by his head there was a cake. Oh, I feel the spirit. That had been baked over coals and a jar of water. Could have been a jar of sweet tea that would have made it better, but it was a jar of water. He ate and drank and then went back to sleep. Later, the Lord's angel came to him again. We don't know how much later. Later. Just later. And said, get up and eat. If you don't, you will not be strong enough to make the long trip. This is the God of the Old Testament? The one who used to open the ground and swallow people up? The one who said, go cut off the big toes of your enemy and their thumbs? This is the God of the Old Testament? I think there's a lot more of the kindness of God in the Old Testament than we see. I really do. We hyper-focus on the things we don't understand because they seem so harsh and cruel, and we totally skip over the kindness of God to not only let him take a nap after saying such an outrageous thing as I want to die, but to provide snacks for him. a cake twice. When I'm babysitting Oakland for probably the last 6 months, I would try to pay attention when he would start rubbing his eyes or yawning, and I would say to him, because I wanted him to start putting his body signals together and understanding, and I would say, Oakland, you're getting sleepy, aren't you? And he would look at me like, I'm not sure I want to be sleepy. But that would be it. I would just let it go. I wouldn't say, you need to go to bed now. You're getting sleepy, aren't you? And then the next time he would yawn, I would say, oh, you must be tired, because I wanted him to figure out when his body needed a nap. They don't really follow a strict schedule with him. They let him, his body, choose when he needs a nap. So I was trying to help him figure it out. Oh, I'm tired. That's what's wrong. I love that God said, yeah, you need a nap and some cake. That's what you need. You understand, when Elijah was complaining and saying, take my life, what he was saying to God is, I don't trust you anymore to decide when I'm done. I want to decide for me and not let you decide. But God never challenged him on it. God never said, like I would have. He just let him have a nap and provided snacks for him. Point number three, the kindness of God. Oh, the kindness of God to get us to the right location. In verse 8, it says, so Elijah got up, he ate and drank and felt strong. Then Elijah walked for 40 days and nights to Mount Horeb, also Mount Sinai. It's another word for Mount Sinai. You know that place where Moses got the commandments. The mountain of God. So here's what I find amazing. That Elijah chose to go away from the mountain of God when he was that discouraged. But God didn't go, okay, that's it. Flick, you're done. No. He got him to the right location. He said, here's why you need a nap, a couple of naps and a couple of cakes and some water, is because I want you to go 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God. Some of us are sitting under a bush, discouraged, and God is trying to say, I want to provide for you to get you to a new location where you can hear from me. Where you can, now God spoke to him there through an angel, but there's something about changing your location that helps. Have you ever been really sleepy in the afternoon, sitting at your desk or whatever? And if you just get up and take 100 steps and kind of move a little bit, just a little bit, it takes the sleepies away. You just need to move a little bit. Other times you need a nap and a snack. But in this case, God made it possible to get Elijah to the right place. The kindness of God. Oh, I don't know why it's so hard for us to think of God as being kind. But I want you to start looking for his kindness in your life. I want you to start noticing when he does something just out of kindness for you. Unnecessary, unrequired, but he just pours out his kindness on you. The next point, number four, the kindness of God to ask questions and not accuse. I told you what I would have been tempted to say to Elijah. What is your problem? I have done a lot through you. You're important. You matter. Your work matters. No. No, that's not what God did. He asked a question. Now, he's the creator and king of the universe, and he already knows everything. So obviously, he's not looking for information. Why are you here? Is the question. We'll read it. There Elijah went into a cave and spent the night. Then the Lord said to him, Elijah, why Are you here? Did God not know? Of course he knew. He provided naps and snacks. He knew exactly why he was there. Why are you here? Elijah answered, Lord God, all powerful. Well, he got that much right. That's good. I have always served you the best I can, but the Israelites have broken their agreement with you. They destroyed your altars and killed your prophets. Wait, what just happened before this? Elijah killed 450 prophets of Baal. I know some other prophets of Israel, the true one living God, were also killed, but not to that degree. That's his perspective, is what I want you to notice. Then he says, I am the only prophet left alive. And now they are trying to kill me. Before we read the next verse, I want you to think about for a moment why God asked the question, why are you here? Why did God ask that question? For me, when God asks me a question, it's usually because I need to see something. And when I hear myself answering him, I go, oh, yeah, that's stupid. But then I'm amazed that God did not challenge any of Elijah's words, even though some of them were completely false. I'm the only one left alive? False. Not true, as we'll see later. God didn't say, time out, wait, what? Nope. He just let him, let him do it. Verse 11, then the Lord said to Elijah, go stand in front of me on the mountain. I, the Lord, will pass by you. Ooh, some of us need an encounter with God more than we need an answer. Maybe all of us need an encounter with God more than we need an answer. And we just keep looking for answers. And God says, can you just let me encounter you? Just can you let me hold you? Can you let me make you a cake and give you a snack? Let you take a nap? Can you just let me encounter you? Then a very strong wind blew. The wind caused the mountains to break apart. It broke large rocks in front of the Lord. But that wind was not the Lord. After that wind, there was an earthquake. But that earthquake was not the Lord. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But that fire was not the Lord. After the fire, there was a gentle, quiet, gentle voice. When Elijah heard the voice, he used his coat to cover his face and went to the entrance of the cave and stood there. Then a voice said to him, Elijah, why are you here? Now, he's just encountered the Lord, not in the big stuff, but in a gentle, quiet voice, which is really honestly the most often way that God speaks to me, is a quiet, gentle voice. There have been other times that he's used other things, but in most cases, it's just a quiet voice. And then he asks the same question again. And I just find myself wondering, I mean, God knows what he's going to say, but I find myself wondering if God is hoping against hope that Elijah will have a different answer after encountering the Lord. The kindness of God to let us pass the baton. Point five. The kindness of God to let us pass the baton. Elijah said, Lord God, all powerful, word for word, the same answer he gave before the encounter. Lord God, all powerful, I have always served you the best that I can, but the Israelites broke their agreement with you. They destroyed your altars and killed your prophets. I am the only prophet left alive, and now they are trying to kill me. Deja vu, right? I find myself thinking that probably the reason he said the same answer using exactly the same words, even after an encounter with God, is because he had rehearsed it in his mind way more than two times. And he just spoke out what he had been rehearsing. Some of us need to break the record. We talked about that a few months ago. We need to break the record in our minds. Write a new record. The Lord said, go back. Take the road that leads to the desert around Damascus. Go into Damascus. Anoint Hazael as the king over Aram. Then anoint, God bless you. Then anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. Next, anoint Elisha. I think the correct way is Elisha, but I've always said Elisha, so I'm just going to stick with Elisha. Next, anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Meholah. He will be the prophet who takes your place. Jehu will kill anyone who escapes Hazael's sword, and Elisha will kill anyone who escapes from Jehu's sword. I still have 7,000 people in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed that idol. What? Again, God does not challenge anything that Elijah has said. He doesn't go, you're not the only one left. He doesn't say, you're wrong. He doesn't do any of that. He says, okay, let me help you find the right person. He gives him a strategy and a plan for his replacement. That is such a kindness, you understand, that God could have zapped him and said, okay, even though you've done all this good all these years, I'm done with you too. You're done with me, I'm done with you. It would have been very easy for God to do that. But kindness comes out and God says, are you tired, honey? Are you tired? I will show you who can take your place. And he gives him a strategy for doing it. But here's the kicker. I learned this week, never knew this. Elijah anointed everyone just as God told him to do, including Elisha, the next prophet of God. Here's what I didn't know. Did you know that from that point, the day that Elisha was anointed until the day Elijah was taken up by God, do you know how much time passed there? 18 years. So he said, okay, I'm going to let you pass the baton, but here's the strategy. I want you and Elisha to walk side by side for the next 18 years. He didn't really give him a time frame. That would have been easier. But he said, walk side by side, and I'll pull you up when it's time. So Elisha walked side by side with Elijah for 18 years, and everything Elijah did, Elisha saw what happened, and he probably did it with him. What a kindness. What a beautiful kindness that Elijah doesn't end his life in the place of fear and discouragement. Instead, God said, no, I'm going to have somebody walk with you because I know you're tired. And sometimes you just need somebody to walk with you when you're tired. So let me give you somebody to walk with you and teach. You can teach him how to do what you do so that when you are taken up to heaven, He didn't die. He just got escorted up by a chariot, which is awesome, right? When you get escorted up, you can finish in dignity. You can finish well. What a kindness of God. He didn't have to do it that way. I love that. So I ask you, why are you here? I had God ask me that. Why are you here? Maybe you're in a place where you're just afraid and discouraged and alone. You know what? I believe there is a time for naps and snacks. I do. I really do. And some of us, we think the world will not go on if we take a break. and that's not a healthy place to be. Sometimes it's good to know, take a break, have a snack, it's all right. Just don't stay there for too long. Don't stay there for too long, because it'll become quicksand that sucks you down into more fear and discouragement, okay? But let God lead you. I love the passage in Isaiah that says, you will hear a voice behind you, whether you go to the left or the right, telling you this is the way. This is the way. He might be telling you, it is time for you to take a nap today. It's raining. Like, what a great day for a nap. It's time for you to take a nap. Some of you were like, Sandy, you missed a great opportunity for a prop because you're talking about snacks. I actually thought about it, but then I thought, then they're going to want a nap. No. So no snacks. Sorry. Bagels after. Maybe you know you're in the wrong location. Not at this church, please. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in here. You're in the wrong location here, and God is trying to get you to his mountain. Maybe you need to figure out, why am I here? But instead of trying to answer God, why don't you ask God, God, why am I here? Because I want to do everything you're calling me to do. I think the problem with calling, though, the word calling, is that we think it's this big grand thing, like I'm going to preach before thousands, or I'm going to do this big, big thing. And sometimes we just need to know why we're here today. Why am I here today? Why am I in Hynens today? Why am I, whatever you do, why am I here today? God, can you show me what I can do for you today, here in this place? Show me how I can spread your love and kindness. Oh my goodness. I think some people, the reason they've shunned away from God is because we've presented him so falsely. He's a big, bad guy that wants to crush you. Look at this story. No, he isn't. He's kind. He's extraordinarily kind. And maybe you've been doing something that you just need to pass the baton to someone else. I don't know. I just know that you were meant to hear this message today. That's what I know. I don't know how it fleshes out in your life. I don't know how it applies to your situation. But here's what I know. God is kind, and he will lead you to where you need to be. He is kind, and he will show you what to do, what not to do, where to go, where not to go. He will show you that. Let's pray. God, I'm overwhelmed by your kindness. Oh, this story just leaves me slack-jawed. I don't know. I'm just amazed at your kindness in so many ways that is shown here. And God, I thank you for the gentle, quiet voice that you are speaking into people's spirits right now. That you're reassuring them of your goodness and your kindness. That you have not turned your back on them because of what they've said or done. But you long to engage with us. You long to interact with us. As you did with Elijah, even though he was in a dark place at the beginning. God, I thank you for that. I thank you that his being in a dark place did not disqualify him for future ministry. Whew. God, I pray that you would pour out encouragement on people today. just as Rhonda talked about a weight being taken off, I pray that that weight would be replaced with deep encouragement that cannot be shaken, comfort that cannot be shaken. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. And God, I also pray for the offering as we give today. I pray that you would bless it and multiply it many times over for your purposes. I'm just in awe that you brought a cake and water out in the desert to Elijah. And so I know that sometimes it can feel like our finances at Oak River are in a desert place, but you provide even there. And I thank you for that. And so I pray that you would just do what you want to do with the finances and bless the givers in a big way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So next week, we're going to have ORC T-shirt day. So if you got a T-shirt a couple weeks ago, then wear it next Sunday. We're going to get a group picture. If you didn't get a T-shirt and you happen to have a different ORC T-shirt, wear that one just so we can, we are family, right? Just have fun with it. Okay, so that's next week. Also, giving you a heads up announcement, we're going to be doing a coat drive for Love Inc. starting next week through October 4th. So if you happen to be cleaning out your closets this week, don't give them away to somebody else. Bring them to Oak River next week or the following week or whatever. Wash them before you bring them, please. Just make sure they're worth giving away to someone. We don't want to give away holy, beat up, stuff. We want to bless people who are in need. And I think sometimes if we give them junk, they feel it reinforces what they already feel about themselves. Does that make sense? So you might feel inspired to go buy a couple of new coats. I know. Shocking, right? How awesome would it be for someone who is so in a bad place right now to get a coat with a tag still on it? Like, how would that make them feel? That would be amazing. So I'm not putting guilt on anybody. If the best you can do is pulling something out of your closet, please do. But, maybe you're being called to do something different too. So that starts next week. Next week also, what did I tell you my title is for next week? Where are you? Oh yeah, where are you? Instead of why are you here, where are you? That's gonna be a good one too. Coffee and bagels after church, please enjoy and have a great week. Happy Labor Day tomorrow. Enjoy your holiday. Love you guys.